Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings and welcome to part 5 on our program discussing the abomination of desolation. We've already seen from Matthew 12, Mark 13, and Luke chapter 21 how the Bible in the New Testament describes the abomination of desolation. And we glean from these three passages of Scripture 10 points. The 10 points are this. First of all, you will see the abomination of desolation. The second thing is it's called an abomination. The third thing, it's called a desolation. This is an abomination of desolation, an abomination that makes desolate. Point 4, this abomination of desolation is spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Point number 5 is you will see this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing somewhere. And point 6 is you will see it standing in the holy place. Point 7 is this holy place where it will stand is some place where it ought not to stand. And point 8 is, you will also see Jerusalem compassed with armies. And point 9, when you see this, then know that its destruction has come. And then point number 10 is, we also need to understand that after this abomination of desolation is set up and you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, you should understand that the great tribulation is about to break forth. When you go to the Old Testament and you read in the book of Daniel chapter 9, 11, and 12 where the abomination of desolation is discussed, we see two themes emerging. Number one is that the daily sacrifice will be taken away. And number two is that the sanctuary and the city will be destroyed. So those are all the points that we're going to cover. In our first couple of programs, we already discussed the fact that you will see the abomination of desolation. We already discussed the definition of abomination, and we discussed the definition of desolation. Today, we're going to discuss the definition of the word stand, because you will see it standing in the holy place where it ought not. What does this word stand mean? Stand is taken from the Greek word histemi, and that's spelled H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It's pronounced histemi. It's taken from the Hebrew word amad, which is spelled A-M-A-D. It's pronounced amad. And the meaning in both cases is to abide. Like you live somewhere, you abide there, or you're going to visit someone, so for the time being, you abide there. It also has the connotation of to continue. When you stand someplace, that means you're continuing to dwell there. Also, it has the connotation of a covenant. When you stand someplace next to someone, with someone, you are in covenant with them. You are agreeing with them in many cases. It also has the simple connotation of to stand up. When it's standing in the holy place, perhaps it's meaning that someone is standing up there for their rights, what they think are their rights. They're standing up for a certain principle, what they think is a good principle. So it can have all of those connotations. And we're going to see that as we read the scriptures. But again, the word stand means to abide, to continue, to stand up, and to make a covenant with someone. Now let's read in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. This is Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. Here we're going to see the meaning of the word stand as in abide or to continue. Jesus, knowing the thoughts of the Pharisees, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." And by the way, that's the same word spoken of by Daniel the prophet when it says the abomination of desolation. It means brought to destruction. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. It will be destroyed. It will fall. It will not continue. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That's that word stand, which in Greek is histemi, and in Hebrew it's amad. It means it will not continue. It will not abide any longer. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 26 and we'll read verse 15. This is Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15. This is where Judas was about to betray Jesus. Judas asked the scribes and the Pharisees, "What will you give me if I deliver Jesus to you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. So this word covenanted is this word stand. It's the same Greek word for covenanted and stand. It means to stand in agreement with someone. Now in John chapter 18 verse 5, we have a different aspect of the same story. When the multitude came to capture Jesus, Jesus asked them who they were looking for. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." And Judas, which betrayed him, stood with them also. Judas was standing by them. He was standing with them because earlier he had stood with them or made a covenant with them to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And now we see him standing with them also. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11, we're going to see another aspect of this. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. Every priest stands daily in the temple, that is, ministering and offering the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But Yeshua, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right side of God, from then on expecting until his enemies are made his footstool. Every priest stands daily. That's how the Jewish priest did. But Jesus, the high priest, after he made one sacrifice of himself, he sat down. But these priests stood daily in the temple offering sacrifices. Now let's go to the Old Testament where we will see this word stand used. This is in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 6. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 6. You've probably heard of the saying, "Stand up and fight like a man." Well, that's the connotation that we're going to see in these few verses here. Stand up. In other words, stand up, use your power to fight. And then, of course, if somebody gets knocked down and beaten down, they don't have the power to stand up anymore. That's the connotation we're going to see here. So let's start reading. In the end of years, they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm. In other words, this league that they make together is not going to be fruitful because her power will be broken. She won't be able to stand anymore. Neither shall he stand, nor his arm. Why? For she shall be given up. So they come into this league, but because one of the powers was weakened, the other power also was weakened, and the league eventually broke up. Now let's drop down to verse 16. But he that comes against him, coming against him being the king of the north, so there's another power that comes against the king of the north, and that is the king of the south. So the king of the south comes against the king of the north, and it says, but he, the king of the south, that comes against the king of the north, shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. Speaking of the king of the north, none will stand before the king of the north. And he, the king of the north, shall stand in the glorious land. Here we're talking about, again, standing up, having power, showing that he belongs there, according to him, of course. And thinking that, yes, I am almighty, I am powerful, I can stand here, nobody can knock me down, because I have strong armaments. That's this connotation. So he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. Dropping down to verse 22. And with the arms of a flood shall they, the opposition to the king of the north, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, which is the king of the north. The king of the north is just going to overflow as with the arms of a flood, a great army. He's just going to overflow his enemies. And they shall be broken. Yes, also the prince of the covenant. Now let's drop down to verse 31. And arms, this is armies, armaments, and arms shall stand on his behalf, the king of the north. Other armies are going to stand up and support this king of the north, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. I hope you can see from these chapters that we read from, both in the New Testament and here in Daniel in the Old Testament, that when it says the abomination of desolation will stand in the holy place where it ought not, this word stand carries the connotation of armies being in this place, standing up as though they belong there with their forces. And that's why it says when you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, know that its desolation is near. Daniel just got finished saying that this army shall stand on behalf of, stand in league with, in covenant with the king of the north, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, which is the tabernacle, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice that's in the tabernacle, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. Now don't worry if you didn't catch all of that. This is very complicated, but in future programs we're going to break it down step by step. What I wanted you to get in this program is the meaning of the word stand. And in this particular case, stand has the connotation of people standing up with power in league with one another to do something destructive.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.